Good morning. Welcome to Bethany Lutheran Church in Warren, Oregon. Today I'm preaching on the lectionary gospel text for the day, which is Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 56. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus was born, the shepherds heard the angels sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth." When Jesus was brought to the temple as a baby, Simeon held him in his arms and proclaimed, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace." To the woman who anointed Jesus, and the woman with the 12-year hemorrhage, Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." When Jesus sent his disciples out on their first mission trip, he instructs them, "Whatever house you enter, say, 'Peace be to this house.'" In Isaiah's prophecy, Jesus is named the Prince of Peace. But in today's gospel text, Jesus says he comes to bring division. There will be peace in Jesus, but it will be decisive. In Matthew 10, verse 34, Jesus said, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." In the end, when Jesus returns, he will bring an end to all divisions. And peace will reign. However, true peace cannot reign until Jesus has separated the wheat from the chaff, the phony from the genuine. In the meantime, we use war to gain temporary peace by forcing people into submission, which is not genuine peace. It's only a temporary absence of war. Some say all religions lead to the same place, that Allah, Ra, Buddha, and Odin are all names for the same God, as they try to erase any division and claim peace. But this peace is not the peace of Jesus, because Jesus is the only Savior for all people, and truth divides people. Jesus is the Prince of Peace because he offers the peace of sins forgiven. But that emphasizes the division between those who believe in Jesus and those who do not. This may happen because the new Christian belongs to a family or community who follows a non-Christian faith, such as Islam. Becoming a Christian can mean losing family, community, employment, home, and possibly one's life. Or the new Christian may belong to a family that believes they're self-sufficient. They do not need any God. This can also mean the loss of family, as the new Christian no longer participates in the risque behavior, heavy drinking, or inappropriate humor that bonds the rest of the family. Following Jesus is not only a new belief system, but a new way of living. We were designed to need God, to live in unison with God, to follow his plan for our life. And we cannot be at peace within ourselves when we try to live independently from God. We do not have the inner peace Jesus promised as long as we rely on self-justification. Nothing we say or do before God can justify our choices and behavior when we seek to do our will. We cannot have peace with others as long as we insist on putting ourselves, our desires, and our needs above those of others. Ironically, those of us who claim to be followers of Christ Jesus can find ourselves being a roadblock to peace, even with other believers. One article asked, "With all the different peace groups around the world, why hasn't the world become more peaceful?" The answer given was that each group wants their own kind of peace. Some want world peace on their own terms and in their own way. And that puts the different peace groups in conflict with each other. The same happens in different denominations and congregations. We cause division over issues like what music is appropriate for worship time, how we pray, and whether or not children should be allowed to take communion. During the last presidential campaign, many Christians, yes, Lutherans, walked away from their church homes because of division over political affiliations. I have seen fellow church members spit on each other in a public setting because of their disagreement over an issue within their church body. How can this be when we say that we have turned our life over to the Prince of Peace? Where does this inconsistency come from? Well, first, we need to acknowledge that the evil one is alive and actively at work in this world. We must be on guard every waking moment, lest he sneak into our hearts and warp our priorities. Then examine your priorities. Do you give as much attention to the maintenance of your spiritual life as you give to the maintenance schedule for your car? Do you give more attention to the health of your church or to your golf score? What percentage of each day do you devote to prayer and reading the scriptures? And how does that compare to the number of hours you devote each day to Facebook, to computer surfing and games, and watching television? Does your action match your intention? Following Jesus means a new way of living that is in direct opposition of the way of the world. If we claim to follow the one who accepted and even honored the unacceptable, then we must do the same. Even more, we must love those who we disagree with. As Tom Mullen wrote, "I learned upon joining the Quakers that they attack large social and moral problems with conscientious determination. They work for peace. And if you really want to cause conflict, work for peace." So with all this talk of conflict, just what peace is Jesus offering? Well, first he offers a peace of a quiet conscience. Romans 8, verses 33 through 35 and 37. "Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or weakness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Second, Jesus offers the peace of a restful mind. Philippians 4, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Third, Jesus offers the peace of a surrendered will. 1 Peter 4, verse 2, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God." Fourth, he offers the peace of a hopeful heart. Isaiah 50, verse 7, "Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame." Fifth, Jesus offers the peace of loving fellowship. 1 John 1 verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Overall, we live with Jesus as he lives for us. We hold on to Jesus as he holds on to us. We suffer for Jesus because he suffered for us. And all because Jesus brings a divisive peace that saves by its very nature. God divides temporary life from life eternal. He divides false hope in self from perfect hope through his son. One night while conducting an evangelistic meeting in the Salvation Army Citadel in Chicago, Booth Tucker preached on the sympathy of Jesus. After his message, a man approached him and said, "If your wife had just died, like mine has, and your babies were crying for their mother who would never come back, you would not be saying what you're saying." Tragically, a few days later, Tucker's wife was killed in a train wreck. Her body was brought to Chicago and carried to the same citadel for the funeral. After the service, the bereaved preacher looked down into the silent face of his wife and then turned to those attending. "The other day, a man told me I would not speak of the sympathy of Jesus if my wife had just died. If that man is here, I want to tell him that Christ is sufficient. My heart is broken, but it has put a song there by Jesus. I want that man to know that Jesus Christ speaks comfort to me today. I witness to you today. My heart has been broken, but Christ is sufficient. I promise you today that we, living in Christ, can step forward from the injustices in this world. God does lead us in unbearable times. Better yet, Christ promises that we will make it through and find the peace found only in him. Amen."